Welcome. Welcome to our second concert of our 60th anniversary season. I think I finally got that terminology correct. In fact, this night, I think we are the closest in time to our actual first concert 60 years ago. Yep. And thank you for joining us at our new early time, which is the new and normal time because everyone started going to bed like an hour earlier in the pandemic, and we all figured it out, right? For those of you who I don't know already, I welcome you to the theater. I'm the music director of the wonderful Livermore Amador Symphony Orchestra. I'm Laura Weber, and tonight's program we're calling Vibrant Variations. Great alliteration for this music because obviously it's a nod toward the last piece on the program, the actual variations and fugues on the theme of Purcell, otherwise known as The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra by a great Benjamin Britten. So that's variations, and they're certainly vibrant, but the first two big orchestral works on the first half they showcase everything that I personally love about symphonic music, in that in this collection of sounds and people are contained any kind of sound you would need to take you anywhere in your imagination or describe any sort of emotion or convey any kind of excitement or compelling ideas and even take you to different parts of the world. And that's what we're doing in the first half. It's Chinese New Year. Happy Lunar New Year. Did you see that gorgeous liver moon on the way here? So we're playing a wonderful piece called the Saiyan Dance to open this program, written by Anselm Huang, who is currently living in Toronto and writing and teaching this very day. He was born in China and grew up during the Cultural Revolution, and of course during that time artists and intellectuals and creative people and scientists and any intellectual pursuits were forbidden. And so he was essentially self-taught for a long time. He came from a musical family, which helped, but he was deprived of musical instruments, of university access, until somehow or another he got a piano in his life and he started teaching himself. And once the revolution was over and it was okay to be a complete human being again, he continued his studies and developed really a wonderful way of blending the idiomatic character of his of various regions of China, of his music into Western symphonic form. It creates this wonderful blend of experience and sound. Saibei is a region of northern China, north of the Great Wall, that's beautiful and mountainous. It was the part of China that hosted the 2022 Olympics. And you'll hear the leaping and soaring melodies right out of the gate in the flute and the clarinet. That are characteristic of the folk song of that region of China. He's not actually listing a folk song, he invents his own, but it's influenced by what he heard in the traditions of that part of his culture. So that's our first piece, and it's a real showstopper. It's a lot of fun. And then we end the first half with music by Jose Moncoya, who is one of the great Mexican composers. Even though he didn't write a lot of music, the music he wrote really packed a punch. He was a percussionist and a conductor, as well as a composer. And he actually, in the early 40s, like 1941, went to Tanglewood alongside Leonard Bernstein and Aaron Copland and Serge Koussevitzky, and was tasked at some point in time by Carlos Chavez, sort of the father of the modern Mexican symphonic sound, to go write a symphonic poem in the huapango style. Now, huapango is a big overarching term for a style of musical dance in Mexico that involves a variety of different kinds of really captivating, repeating melodies that are other from across the space in a mariachi band kind of instrumentation with lots of brass trumpets, string instruments, plucked strings, and a driving rhythm that's rooted in, I won't try to dance, but rooted in the really intricate toe-tapping and foot-stopping style of Fapango dancing, which means that in this orchestration, the percussionists are really substituting for the dancers. They are constantly driving us forward in repeating eighth notes. And you'll hear the characteristic Fapango rhythms, which are all syncopated. So I'm conducting in two, and there's six eighth notes in there. So, but the orchestra plays against me the whole time. It's constantly changing and always syncopated, so there's this great energy in the music. You'll hear he writes it in a sort of ADA form, fast, slow, fast, and it's a great exercise in how to draw as much variation and color out of the orchestra playing the same material in repetition. It's just fabulous. You're going to love that piece. And then we finish the concert with our variations, which is Benjamin Britten's great short masterpiece right in the middle of the 20th century. It was commissioned for a film that was created to reintroduce British children to classical music, symphonic music, right at the end of World War II. But he didn't just write an educational kids piece. He wrote a really brilliant set of variations and a fugue, which itself is a variation, on an old theme written by his predecessor, Purcell. And what he does with these intricate variations is just fantastic. It's not just, okay, here's flute, here's clarinet, here's the oboe. Each variation is linked to the other in an incredibly beautifully seamless and inevitable way across the orchestra. And he structured it so that we all play the theme together. You'll hear it very clearly. Then he introduces each family of the instruments, starting with the woodwinds, and then the brass, and then you get the strings and percussion, so the big families, and then we play the theme again, and he breaks the piece down so that you hear all those sections in their component parts, from high to low through the wind and brass and percussion, and high to low through the strings, and then we come together at the end in this fantastic fugue, where you'll hear towards the end of brass play Purcell's theme one more time as this very rapid fugue is going by over top of it. This piece, it didn't just reintroduce the orchestra to children and to the public, it also reintroduced the orchestra to itself. A lot of musicians weren't going to rehearsals in World War II, they were going to war. And so this piece was also meant to help get artists back in gear, get them back in shape. It is often performed with narration, but it's so brilliantly composed, and you probably don't need to hear, and now the flute, and now the clarinet. You know, it's self-evident and truly fun to play, really, really compelling work. And of course, the main event tonight are our two concerto winners, Kara Wang and Connor Rohan. Kara is playing Elgar's cello concerto, the first half of it, which is another great British composer. And this piece is coming out of the experience of World War I, a very emotional, very personal piece. And she'll play through to the second movement. The second movement is kind of like a dreamscape, a memory of happier times, but it feels very much like a dream. And then to start our second half, Connor Rohan will play the absolutely sparkling last movement of Chopin's first piano concerto. And on top of all that, we have element 116 in our own team. Yay! I agree. They're every year built of young jazz musicians from our own community, varying membership across our high schools and middle schools year to year, and coached and led by the brilliant and completely lovable Matt Vinders. So I hope you'll enjoy them at intermission. And afterwards, we're having a reception, so stick around and enjoy. Thank you so, so much for coming, and I look forward to sharing this music with you.